You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. And Almighty Infinite Father, you're faithfully loving your own. And here in our weakness you'll find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. And you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. And you are the one that we praise. Lord, you are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Amen. Sing that song, You Are My All in All. Jesus, Lamb of God.
And you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. And taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
sing that again. My Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Lord. Worthy is your name. Just give the Lord a round of applause. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. We want to lift your name on high today, Father. Amen. How many come in expectation this morning? Amen. Not just an expectation, but to receive what you expected. Amen. Amen. To go away with the very thing that you came for this morning. Just have a few announcements here. No prayer requests or testimonies. Just to keep our pastor in prayer as he preaches over in Akron there. We have Brother Simon with us this morning, so keep him in prayer. We do have the Gideons coming next Sunday, so we'll be having them with us. They're going to have these in the back there if you want to give towards the giving out of the Word of God. That's always a mighty good calling to do, just to give to the Word of God. You just fill out a little how much you're going to give, and there's a little checklist on there. Or we're going to have a separate offering where you can just put cash in there, or if you want to put it on your name, or a check payable to the church if you're going to put it in the offering plate. We'll re-announce that next week, too. So, also, there's going to be a binder in the back of the church for testimonies for all those who have a testimony they want to put in. And there's other details back there posted on the bulletin board. There's like a little color-coded cards they're going to use, but all the details are on that back there. So, amen. I believe that's all we have for announcements that I know of. I'm just going to ask Brother Philip if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer also with the tithes and the offerings. Amen. I'm going to say with an upraised hand that I have a need of the Lord this morning for a certain cause. Amen.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to praise and worship you today, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus, to hear your word, to have the teachings of you, Lord, be spread to us, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
just open our eyes and our ears, Lord Jesus. Allow us to hear the word that our Brother Simon, is going to be bringing to us today, Lord Jesus. Just bless him as he's back there preparing himself to come out here and just spread this message to us, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We pray that for our pastor who's over in Akron, Lord Jesus. Just be with him as he's leading the flock over there, Lord Jesus. Yeah, I know Brother Jesse's celebrating his new baby in his family, Lord Jesus. Just be with his family as our pastor's over there with them. And we just pray for those that have unspoken prayers, Lord Jesus. We just want you to reach out to those and just touch their hearts, Lord Jesus. And we pray for the tithes and the offering, Lord Jesus. Just be with us today, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Just sing a little song, Lord, we lift your name on high. And we just want to worship the Lord this morning, amen. Just give him all the glory and praise that he's due, amen. Lord, I lift your name on high. And Lord, I love to sing your praises. And I'm so glad you're in my life. And I'm so glad you came to save us. And you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Sing that again, Lord, I lift your name.
And Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praise.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
And I'm so glad you're in my life. And I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven.
You came from heaven to earth.
Hallelujah.
To show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came from heaven.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just sing a little song, What a Mighty God We Serve. I'm going to be glad to serve a living God. Amen.
What a mighty God we serve.
just sing that song. There's no one like Jesus. Amen.
There is no one, there's no one like Jesus.
Run into and they are saved. Amen. Amen. If you're searching for something that you need strength for today, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Run into it today. Just possess it today. Amen.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Be the name.
Amen. Give Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. How many are ready to hear the word this morning? Amen. Let's just sing a little song, The Potter's Hand. Amen. As our brother Simon would come. Amen. Just come. Being able today to be molded, to be made into his image. Amen. No matter what he take you through, we just want to be molded to the very image of what Christ would have us to be today. Amen.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. And you gently called me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Send me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Lord, and take me. Yes, Lord, and mold me. Use me and fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. The potter's hand. Beautiful Lord, you're my wonderful Savior.
Just worship him right now, saints.
All of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, following, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. And I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Lord, just take me. Mold me. The potter's hand and call me. Lord, we love you. Guide me. Lord, lead me. Walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
One more time. Just take. Just lift your hands and worship him.
Hold me. Use me and fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Call me, Lord.
I think I'm going to do a song special today. So we'll do a little song here, by the grace of God. I must help you. We're going to sing I Must Tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. Ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, yes, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. Is a kind, compassionate friend. Yes, He is. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make up my troubles quickly. Amen. Yes. I must tell Jesus, yes, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Yes, Lord. Jesus alone. That's it. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. One who can help my burdens alone. Sorry. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. Amen. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can hear me, Jesus alone. Last verse. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is, oh my, tempted to sin. Think about it. I must tell Jesus, and He will help. Amen. Yes. Over the world, the victory to win. One more. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Amen, saints. Let's just worship Him. We just love You, Lord. Worthy God. We love Thee, God. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for everything, God. And Lord, without You, Lord, we're nothing, God. Without Your help, God, how will we make this body change, Lord? We just love You, God. You're worthy, God, Lord. Amen. We just love You so much. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I guess you can have your seats. That's number two for me, so. Doing all right. That's a lot of faith there. A lot of boldness. I felt like Gideon, mighty man of valor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a thought today. I hope this thought here will actually help you. Hope it'll be a blessing. And we'll get into it. We'll show you. Matthew 17. Verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. He says, I brought him to Thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Turn to Genesis 1:26. I know just going through this little study here, just myself studying for it, it's encouraged me, and it just helps me to focus. It helped me to focus and really get, when I pray, I just say a simple prayer, and it's specific, and that's just what I need. You know, God sent me this message through a one-sentence prayer. Lord, if this is not the truth, send me the truth, no matter how crazy it is, I'll believe it. 3.5 months in a closet. One sentence. Amen. And God brought it. Right? Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. He says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Not just creation, but the whole earth is under subjection to the sons and daughters of God. Amen, he says, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created him, he and and female created He them. Let's say a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we just love You, God. Lord, we're humble, Lord, because we know You're here, Lord, because, Lord, we have faith in Your Word, Lord. Yes, Your Word said, Lord, wherever two or three are gathered, God. And, Lord, if You're true to Your Word, God, if You are Your Word, if You sent this Word, God, then You're here today right now, Lord. Yes, Lord. We just love You, God. And, Lord, we just want Your perfect will, Lord, lead and guide, Lord, my little my little mouth here, God, Lord, and my thoughts, God. May you have full control of them, Lord, this morning, Lord. And Lord, each one out there, Lord, sitting in the seats, God, Lord, where I usually am, God. Lord, may they clear their minds, God. And Lord, may their thoughts be about You, God, Lord, and Your goodness and Your mercy, Lord. And Lord, for surely, Lord, We got a testimony from a lady that went overseas and a missionary, Lord, and they said the country was so poor, the dogs, you could see the ribs on all the dogs and the bones and everything. All the animals were just famished, God. And Lord, in America, Lord God, we have so much abundance, God. We throw away so much, Lord. Lord, just have mercy on us, Lord, this morning. We love you, Lord. I ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have your seats. I want to do something a little bit different. I just kind of feel led to do this real quick. Wednesday I had Todd over in Akron there and talked to Brother Cam. Brother Cam said the atmosphere is pretty rough. he said it was really hard for him to preach. Thank God I'm only a teacher. But I'd like to have Brother Dustin and Brother Bart come up to the front here. If you guys could. I'm going to be right with you guys. Praise God. Now, these are our two leaders here. But Cam's gone here, our deacons, right? I just want to show, you know, how I just want you brothers, you guys can pick whoever, but I want you guys just to get in, just say, just do like the arm swing, just say, praise the Lord as loud as you can. Just want to just loosen everybody up here. Just everybody just get into the spirit of things. You have to get into the spirit of the service. So, who wants to go first?
I'll do it.
Okay, get it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Good, good, good. Brother Bart? Oh, you want to do it? Just praise the Lord. Just like that. Like an umpire, yeah, absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Give him a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Trying to get everybody, you know, if we the little ones, you know, the laities to get in the spirit, we want to have our leaders in the spirit. Absolutely. And be able to get loose. And even for them to come up here, I'm sure that was, you know, something I didn't ask them or any tell them or anything. I just want to put them in the spot. Absolutely. Because I have to go in the spot today. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today I'd like to teach on a topic, restoring the living waters. And I chose that title because it may not happen today. I'm not sure when it'll happen, but it is going to happen. Dreams and dreams and dreams come forth showing a great thing would take place in this church, though it's so small. We don't even have really a sign out in the front, but things will happen. So, here in Matthew 17, if we could start off by the grace of God, just going to let the Lord have His way. Nothing specifically deep, just a little thought here by the grace of God. Had good service there in Akron on Wednesday. They were really blessed. So, here in Matthew 17, if you look at verse 1, they're dealing with the Transfiguration Mountain. God waited 7 days, and He takes up Peter, James, and John up into the high mountain, and we know the vision. It's a vision, what, of the coming of the Lord, correct? Absolutely. So these things, He's dealing with them. He goes up, He shows Peter, James, and John. They all break into a vision simultaneous. 3 men at one time seeing the exact same vision. Right? Jesus Christ transfigured. Moses and Elijah appear. Sure. And then they come down from the mountain. Right? They come down off the vision. They come down from the anointing. I'll say it like that. Seeing something so supernatural, so spiritual. And here in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, he says, Lord, have mercy on my son. He says, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. He says, I brought time to thy disciples and they could not cure him. Look at the condition. They had just seen the coming of the Lord. They had just, I'll say this, they had just had a major revelation come to their minds. They had just witnessed something so supernatural. And what God told me, He says, just keep it quiet. He says, tell the vision to no man. If you look at the rest of the accounts, right? Sure. Now, but when it come down, though, they have all the knowledge. They have all the revelation. They understand the church ages. I'll say like this, in type form, in very vague form, they understand the church ages, how God would come to the Gentiles through seven Gentile churches in Revelations 1 through 3. Absolutely. Sure. Now, we know that's Ephesus, Sardis, Thyatira, Pergamos, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Probably missed one there. He says, so they showed them all this. They have all the understanding. They know it's coming, right? Sure. And then he says, but look at their power. Knowledge does not produce power. Okay? It does. We can study this Bible. We can memorize. Someone probably can memorize. When I was going to denomination, there was a young man. I believe it was right after I got to college, a young man, he's probably 16 years old in high school, and he come and recited the entire book of John or something like that. No, I'm sorry. It was one of Paul's epistles. It was when he was in prison writing one of his epistles. He had recited the entire book by memory. And he's done that time and time again. That wasn't the first time he'd done it. He'd done it before with other books in the Bible. So you can actually memorize all this, but if you don't have an understanding, if you don't let it get down and settle down into your heart, right? He says, because faith comes by fasting. No. Faith comes by praying. No. By hearing the Word of God. Absolutely. So if you hear the Word of God, and but just because you hear it doesn't mean anything. You have to then what? Believe it and place it and let it sink down from these ears and work through your mind and then settle down into your heart and say, if that's possible for them, it's possible for me. Amen. Absolutely. That's right. Now, I want to see a little quote here. Queen of the South, 58. Halfway down on E39, he says, grant that peace rest in their hearts, he says, and all the mountains that before them, he says, may they crumble this very night with the faith that they have just raised their hands to receive. He says, if they are sick, may that mountain crumble, right? Amen. He says, if they have had a mountain of unbelief, may it crumble. He says, may every obstacle crumble that stands between them and good health and serving the living God. He says, for if we ask in Jesus Christ's name, as I present to them to thee, Father, they are the trophies of this message and they have love, they are love gifts. He says that God has given to his son. He says, and no man can pluck them out of his hand for the eternal life and it shall never come to judgment. We thank thee in Christ's name. Amen. That's right. That's right. Now look, he says, the disciples came at this point and they could not cast this devil out, right? Now look, he says, verse 17, he says, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How shall I suffer with you? Bring him hither to me. Christ says, bring him here. Amen. He says, I'm the Son of the living God. He says, I'll fix this one. Right? Absolutely. I was just dealing with a tin knocker at work. And he was telling me, it was Joe the tin knocker again, we're having another conversation. And he says, Simon, he says, this generation doesn't need, he says, they got no faith in what you have. And this and this and this. He says, you can show them the Bible, you can show them how the Bible ties together. He says, they won't believe it. He says, they don't have enough faith for it. And I said, I should have said, that fulfills Scripture. Because when Jesus Christ came the first time, he called them a faithless generation. Absolutely. He says, and if he comes the second time, they'll be a faithless generation. Absolutely. That's right. He says, verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. He says, then came the disciples, and Jesus apart, to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, brother.
Amen. Right? Unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain. Now remember, they just come down a mountain.
Amen.
But I believe what he's talking about is the mountain of unbelief. Absolutely. He says, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind cometh not out by prayer, but by prayer and fasting. Amen. Absolutely. So if you want to accomplish something, you must have all faith put behind it. Absolutely. And I'll say like this, when I'm going into the closet now and praying, I'm just saying a one-sentence prayer for certain parts. And I say, Lord, I rebuke this mountain of unbelief. Lord, may I have full faith.
Amen.
And it'll be cast in what? Into the sea. Correct? Absolutely. If God takes one little pebble from the top and starts scraping it and takes His time, He's not going to give your victory, your battles, all the way the very first time. He's going to let you fight for Him. Absolutely. Steps are possession, right? Steps by what? Promised land. If we were entering into the promised land and they fought and it was one battle after another, He wouldn't give it to all of them. He says, lest they be overcome by the beasts, right? He says, but we must take it day by day, little by little, here a little, there a little. Absolutely. Every day should be a victory. Absolutely. If you don't see something happen, say, Lord, make something happen today. Amen. Absolutely. That's right. If He's not able, then we're serving a weak God. Right. But we know we're serving the true and living God. Absolutely. That's right. Surely. That's right. But notice how you can go from a mountaintop experience and be totally powerless. My brother, or you could say to a brother, man, that was a powerful sermon, or man, the power of God came down. You can walk out of here and you can't even pray over yourself for a headache. That's right. Sure. Now, I'm dealing with restoring living waters. All right. Now, there was a man in 1812. He was a peasant. He grew up. He was born in a trade, kind of, because back in the day, you were whatever your daddy was what you were. You were an apprentice, and if your daddy was a blacksmith, well, my boys here are going to be blacksmiths. That's absolutely goldsmiths or silversmiths or carpenters or whatever, right? And there was a man by the name of Michael Faraday. And he was working in the trade that he was born in, but he was really intelligent. He was a Christian man, and he really liked science. Very smart, liked science. He actually did everything he could to get to a science lecture. Back in the day, science lecturers were the rock stars of their day. They were the most important people. The whatever kind of newspapers or news went out, it was always about science and what they're evolving into and what they're discovering, researching and learning, and everybody, the whole world just blown away. Absolutely. Because much of the world, it was undiscovered. We didn't understand a lot of stuff. Science was just so small compared to this now. And this Michael Faraday, he somehow, by the grace of God, got to get underneath one of the highest scientists of his day, which was Humphrey Davies. And Humphrey Davies invited him to be his intern because of an experiment went bad, and he got his eye hurt or something. He got injured and he needed help. Michael Faraday actually sent him a paper and his studies and his personal amateur findings in science. And he was so impressed with him that when Davies got hurt or whatever he got hurt, he invited Michael Faraday to come help him. So now he's entering into these experiments, and he's seeing things, and he's just a lab assistant, but man, God's using him, right? And there's even an account that Einstein had a picture of, not Humphrey Davies on the wall, but Michael Faraday was on his wall. He said, well, this was one of the guys that really helped us here along the way into E equals MC squared. In fact, dealing with E, energy. Now, Michael Faraday, they had come across a situation, a perplexing idea. They had taken a battery, right? A battery, whatever, how they're modern or maybe primitive battery, and they ran it through this wire, and they went through this little thing here, this little piece of metal, whatever, and then ran back and then went to the source, right? And when they powered this battery, and the energy was running through this, they'd place a compass here, or a compass here, and a compass here, and the compass would actually react to the power in that wire. But in their science, they were taught that the power only ran through the wire. That's the only place it existed, was through the wire. Correct? Amen. So one day, Faraday was invited to come look at this and see what he thought. And he thought about it and he looked at it. He started performing his own experiments on it. And he did the wire. And this time he placed four compasses around it. He says, and they go at 90 degree angles. It's almost like it's swirling. In other words, there's a force. Not only is there power in the wire, but there's actually a force surrounding the power. Amen. All right? What did he discover? He discovered electromagnetic fields. Huge discovery. That was in the 1800s. Now, everything, God allowed everything to happen, right? This is a great mystery. This right here, if we can contact, if we can get a hold of this power, if we can actually apply this mystery or this discovery spiritually, where's our power source? In heaven, where we came from. We were aliens, on this earth, but we are actually, we're ambassadors, what, from there. All power lies in Christ, right? All power lies in God. Absolutely. But now, if you've received the Holy Ghost, now you have your own little battery pack. Right inside you. All power, all that's God lives within you. Amen. Absolutely. It's like a heart pacemaker. You got your own personal, eternal pacemaker. Absolutely. This heart will never stop. Absolutely. That's right. Surely. But now remember, if there's power in your heart, if there's power in the Holy Ghost, you have to be hooked up to it. Okay? Remember, it's a circuit. Right? God, you may have the Holy Ghost and be hooked to you, but are you hooked back to God?
Amen.
If there's nothing, it's like this. What is electromagnetism? It's the atmosphere. It's the power of the Holy Ghost, the atmosphere, God around you. When I shake Brother Freddie's hand, I should feel some kind of something. That's right. Or at least something, you know it's real. You may not feel something, but something says that man's real. That man's sincere. Man, the power of God is on him. Absolutely. What? And that's why the Bible says in Matthew, Mark 16, he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Absolutely. Just like Peter, when he was in the book of Acts, they would lay people in it. If they hit his shadow, they'd be healed. Why? Because he had spiritual electromagnetism. Absolutely. Holy Ghost power, absolutely. Because what? God was connected to him and he was connected to God, absolutely. There was no interference, absolutely. Like Brother Lee, when he's working on a car, if there's something electrical messed up in that car, there's gotta be some kind of a short, or the wires messed up, or it's contacting something else, right? Everything must be in perfect working order mechanically for spiritual, right?
Amen.
Spiritually speaking, it must be working properly to get the proper results, to bring the proper power.
Amen.
Correct.
Amen.
Absolutely. And Michael Faraday, he discovered this technology, right? He discovered this understanding. Saints of God, we know about this also, but have we been applied this? Now look at this, Revelation chapter 4. 61, quote, he says, halfway down, 266, he says, the intercourse then, we have the intercourse, now he's dealing with the human body. We know the human body is what? Five on the outer court, the body, then the spiritual realm has five, and then within the soul there's two, which is what? Unbelief or faith, and you have either one or the other. That's right. But now he's working with the inner court, not this outer man, let's see here. What is it? He's a taste, touch, hear, see, and smell. Those are inlets and outlets, right? That's how we contact this natural world. But in the spiritual world, he says we have five spiritual senses. Imagination, conscience, he says reasoning, memory, affections. And now he's dealing with the man, the inner court. He says, we have the inner court, which is the next altar. He says, and the next altar comes in, and it comes in with conscience, imaginations, memories, he says, passions, affections, he says, that's the five senses in the inner core. Absolutely. He says, but now look, he says, 272. He says, then how do you get into this? Now remember, there was a veil that hangs between the holy and the holiest of the holies. He's dealing with the inner man still. But in the natural tabernacle, Moses, we had what? The outer court? What were the priests were right here with the altar and the laver, the brass laver. He says, and then was the holy place, the candlesticks, the showbread, and the altar of incense. And then the holiest of holies was what? The Ark of the Covenant where the Holy Ghost himself lived. But between the holy place and the holiest of holies, there was a curtain.
Amen.
Look what he types this curtain to. He says, now remember, he says, there's a veil. He says, a veil that hangs between the holy and the holiest of holies. He says, in the holiest of holies is where Christ comes and sits down on your throne, your heart's throne. He says, whosoever will that veil, you know what that veil in your heart is from it. He says, are you ready? He says, the veil is called self-will. Yes. That veil separating God from you. Because remember, if the Holy Ghost is in your heart, He's in the holiest of holies right now. He's in your soul, and it's sealed until the day of your redemption, right? It's sealed right there. But remember, there's a veil there. And that's where it moves to you. Because in your soul, now God is full control of your soul if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. But now you are still you. You still have conscience, memory, reasons, affections, imaginations, those things, right? And you still have what? Your outer five senses, right? Absolutely. He says, but he said that veil, he says, is self-will. How do you get, do you get the picture now? He says, the senses out there, the senses on the body and the senses in the soul, the veil between you and the holy place and the holiest of holies, he says, he says, the only way you can get in there is to have self-will, or have self-will, for whosoever, what? He says, whosoever shakes hands, whosoever is immersed, whosoever joins the church, he says, no, he says, whosoever will come beyond the veil. You're not fully accepted just because a priest went in the Old Testament, went and he went to the altar and showed the lamb and killed it, what, and then he washed it. Are you accepted? No. Just because you've been filled with the Holy, just because you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, are you accepted? No. That's not it. Just because you've been baptized, are you accepted by God? No. What is the Old Testament? The fire has to fall. Absolutely. Oh, you take that sacrifice into the most holy place. You're getting ready to go. Once you're in the holy place, is that sacrifice accepted? No, not yet. But remember, when you go through that veil and you take that sacrifice, there's a chance it can't be accepted. And it might not be. But if you did everything correctly, according to the order of operation, and you go and place that blood on the mercy seat, and God don't kill you, you've been accepted. What, that fire come down and lick up that blood. Amen. It's an accepted sacrifice at that time. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. That's right. He says, oh my, whosoever, he says, let him tear down the curtains of his own will and let God come into his heart. He says, there's Christ on the judgment seat in the human heart. Absolutely. That's right. Now imaginations. Dealing with the imagination, just run through this. I don't know how long we're gonna be. We got half an hour in. Okay. Genesis 6 verse 5. Now remember, Jesus said what? As in the days of Noah, Amen. He said, that's when I'll come again. As in the days of Lot, I'll come again. That's, Luke 17. He says, Genesis 6, 5. He says, and God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of God, a man was great in the earth and very. He says, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So if this day is like Noah's day, the imaginations that one of the five of the inner man is messed up. The imaginations completely. Brothers, when you walk down the street or you go to whatever or this or that and you see that perfectly formed girl or woman, what's the first thing? Imaginations. Then it what? Jumps to affections. Sure. Absolutely. And now what? If you have the Holy Ghost, now your connection is severed. Instantly. Just like that. And the dove just takes its flight over here and sits and just hovers waiting for you to make that right. That's right. That's right. Romans 1:20. He says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Because imaginations. Look at the power of look at the power of just messing up your imaginations. Having the wrong thoughts, thinking the wrong things, imagining, who knows what. Imaginations. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, You know, let's go into conscience for a second. Acts 24, verse 14. I love this scripture. Saints of God, may we fulfill this scripture right here. He says, "But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers." Absolutely. Amen. "Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." That's right. Amen. Surely. Absolutely. Verse 15, "And have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Absolutely. He says, "And herein do I exercise myself, and to have always," he says, "a conscience void of offense towards God and men."
Amen.
At the end of the day, Paul could say, "I've done my absolute best not to offend anyone."
Amen.
Maliciously. Now, when you stand on the word of God, you will offend. That just comes with it. Absolutely. Look at Christ. Does this offend you? Oh, this is a hard saying. Well, where are you going to go?
Right.
My. So it's not. Now, when you stand for the word of God and you cause offense, absolutely. But when you do something wrong and it causes offense, you're going to affect somebody's conscience.
Right.
Surely. That's right. Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 4. He says, "As concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols." He says, "We know that an idol," now notice, look at the knowledge of Paul. He says, "But we know," that an idol is nothing in the world and there's no other God but one. So in other words, if Paul was to come and to eat sacrifice idol, it doesn't faze him.
Amen.
Because that idol is not real. That's a piece of stone. That's a piece of wood.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Amen.
Yeah, that is nothing. There's no life in it. It cannot speak. It cannot talk, it cannot think, it cannot do anything for them. It's just a piece of stone, wood. It's a material, what the God created. So when they offer to them, Paul's like, that doesn't mean that God created that animal. That's food to me. Absolutely. Sure. Surely. But for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are gods many and lords many. He says, yeah, he says, there's all kinds of false gods and false lords. He says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things. And we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. Absolutely. Even Satan himself is not a god, he's just an angel.
Right.
And not even just an angel, he's a fallen angel.
Amen.
Absolutely. That's right. He came down and he left Christ and he became absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Sure.
Right.
That's right. Now, but notice how he handles it. He says, verse 7 of chapter 8, he says, "Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge." In other words, a lot of people don't understand that idol is not real, or that has no power, there's not a God or whatever. He says, but he's dealing with what? Weak-minded Christians. Sure. He says, excuse me. He says, "With the conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we any worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak." In other words, even when you understand things, you still have to be totally conscious about your surroundings and who you're around and the people of God. Absolutely. Because you don't know who's a Christian. You don't know if this guy or that sister when you're around in the world, walking around in Walmart or Myers or wherever. Absolutely. So you got to be careful how you conduct yourself. Absolutely. Now, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," right? So he says in this last day there's going to be all kinds of false doctrine going on. He calls them what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2, brother. He says, "Speaking lies and hypocrisy." Now look at, he says, "having their conscience seared with a hot iron." In other words, what does iron represent in the Bible? Romanism. Catholic Church. Sure, absolutely. What? Dealing, and you know, you want to prove it? Go to verse 3. "Forbidding to marry," now these are doctrines of devils, forbidding to marry. What church does that? And commanding to abstain from meats. We can't eat fish, meat on Fridays. What church does that? Doctrines of devils, and yet they eat fish. And if Jesus said one time he got on shore, he says, Jesus, have you any meat? And they gave him what? Fish. My goodness, they don't even understand the word of God. Obviously. What? Because they're totally devil-possessed. That system is. Surely. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, nothing they do bothers them. They can go do anything wickedly they want. In fact, like I was telling the church earlier, not this last summer, but two summers ago, I met for the first time a Christian on the job site that did not cuss and swear. First time. And I've been in the trade since the end of 2000. I've been in the trades, working in job sites since the end of 2000, off and on. And last year was the first time I met a Christian that did not cuss and swear. Absolutely. Because why? He didn't have his conscience seared. He knew whenever he heard a dirty joke or a cuss word that's that, he would just kind of walk away and just mind his own business or start a different conversation. Because it convicted him right away. Absolutely. Now, now, reasoning. Where did the first reasoning take place? Genesis 3. And the serpent was the most subtle beast of all the field. What? And serpent came and met Eve. And they started talking. And what? He injected some false doctrine, some false thoughts. And Eve heard it and she started what? Immediately. She didn't go to imaginations. She didn't go to affections. Or memory, but she's like, maybe she started reasoning. Well, maybe he's right and my husband isn't. Ma, what? It's just like what? He says, if we don't believe what Brother Cam, our pastor, is preaching, we shouldn't go to another man and believe what he's preaching. Amen. It's the same thing. Two pastors or whatever, two heads, whatever. You got to have one head. That's right. Surely, that's right. And she fell, the entire human race fell by what? Reasoning on the Word of God. Well, the serpent said, well, I think that if you eat it, it'll be okay. You'll not die. You'll live just fine. Absolutely. In fact, you'll be just like God's. Amen. Come on, brother. When in fact, we know what? They already were. The what? Little g gods of the earth. Why? Because they had dominion over everything. The animals, the wind, the air, everything. They had full control before the fall. That's right. Now, let's continue on here. Now, memory. Psalms 145. Sometimes, in general, I don't have a good memory. But I'm pretty good as far as like this. When little thoughts from the past that I did come up, a lot of time I can fight those off. I'm pretty decent in that. But a lot of people may not be. Maybe they can't forgive themselves for doing this or for doing that. When they draw from the sea of what? God's forgetfulness, and they draw it back, right? And start playing in their minds, and man, what about this or what about that? And they start rehearsing and thinking about things from what their past, right? Sure. But look here in Psalms 145, verse 1. David's psalm of praise. He says, I will exalt thee, O God, O King. He says, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. He says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Why? What? He's thinking back of everything that God's done for him. How can you get into praise without thinking about what he's already done for you? Absolutely. He's kept me. In fact, I just got in trouble with the Lord 3-4 weeks ago. One day I had a really bad day and I said some things to God I shouldn't have said. I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do this. And for 3 weeks, he chastised me. Real good. That's right. Real good. Absolutely. And then I remember, and what? All those, I was like this. When your life's going good, that's because the blessings of God are on you a lot of times. Because when things start going south, you're like, oh my goodness, God, you know, your car. If your car's not breaking down, that's because God bless you. Right. If your situation at home is going pretty good, you know, and you got the atmosphere of God and you love God and this and that, God's blessing you. But you let the spankings of the Lord, you'll realize how blessed you are. How little troubles God keeps you from. Absolutely, that's right. That's a true story. My. He says, verse 3, he says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. He says, one generation, I hope it's this one, he says, shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. What? From the past. Absolutely. They're bringing, he's remembering everything. Remember, David in his life, he said he had nothing but battles. His life was on the line 24-7. Read Samuel and Kings. He was always, he could have perished at any moment, all the time. Always in death's doorway. My, he says, and men, verse 6, he says, and men shall speak of the mighty, of the mighty and of thy terrible acts. He says, I will declare thy greatness. He says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. What? He's going away. He says, all the things that he did with the children of Israel, right? When it came through the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, manna and quail from heaven. Absolutely. Remember those things and praise God for them. Absolutely. Especially in your life. Sure. Sure. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also received wherein you stand. He says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. So everything in the scripture was written. Everything was written by what? The inspiration of the Holy Ghost and preached now for what? 2,000 years? He says, keep these things in memory. We must always, I'm telling you, seriously, we have to keep these things in our mind. Now I'm going to speed up here because we're getting close to an hour here. Now, we're going to skip a couple. Now, greatest battle ever fought. 62:3-11-18-6. He says, what was the matter? You had to open the channel first. You've got to get the soldier. He's not talking about you. he says, the soldier, he says, the Holy Spirit placed at the battlefront to take God's word. He is the word, and he stands there, and he's, and there's nothing going to stop it then. He says, there's nothing can. He says, every one of the channels is cleared out. Saints of God, now why am I teaching this? Let me read you something that took place a year and a half ago. Okay? I'm feeling led here to jump a little bit. This was the prophecy from 10-19, October 19th, 2014. I'm just going to read this to you. Remember everybody when we were in the back there? I listened to it and I wrote it word by word through our sister Karen. It says, yea, my people, I will say unto thee this day, I, the Lord God, have caused these meetings. Yea, I will speak to your heart today. He says, yea, I have caused you to have a great time in my spirit. But yea, saith the Lord, now I will bring thee a warning, saith the Lord. He says, yea, saith the Lord, ye must repent. Except you repent, saith the Lord, he says, ye will not make it. Now, either we believe she's got a gift, and God's speaking, harnessing the gift, and then he's harnessing the body and the lips and speaking through the woman. He said, if we don't repent, we're not going to make it. I will cause you, saith the Lord, to stand in stagnated waters. Saints of God. Still here. And thou wilt not move until I have spoken. Yea, saith the Lord, search thy heart, search thy soul. He says, repent. He says, run to the altar, saith the Lord, for the hour is late. He says, for the time is at hand. And yea, saith the Lord, hear my voice this day. He says, think not of the flesh. He says, but think of the living God. Yea, saith the Lord. He says, for I am with thee. I will be with thee. He says, I am with thee in your repentance. If thou repent, he says, surely I will leave thee. Saints of God, that was a year and a half ago. And we're still sitting in stagnated waters. How do things get stagnant? you take a nice little river, right? And let's say there's a flood, right? A big rush through this river, and it knocks down all these trees and all these logs and whatever, and they all get kind of in the, like, maybe the bend of the river. And these logs get washed right there, and it causes a dam. And it backs up, and it backs up, and slowly, you know, it'll go over it, but there's like a little pool there. It can get stagnated right there. A pond can be what? A stagnated water. What is the Dead Sea? Stagnated water. There's all inlet, but no outlet. Everything runs into it. We've been fed for 2002. Everything's run into it, but we let anything out. Stagnated waters. But there's another reason why also. And I'm just gonna jump there because of time. The reason I felt like teaching on this today was when I had said those things to the Lord and he started spanking me. You know what the last two spankings were? They were spankings, but he taught me through them. Amen. At the end of my 3 weeks chastisement, I was walking behind my house and I saw ice formed right behind my septic tank outlet, that lid. Ice had formed all the way, and I'm thinking, oh no. And you know what? I'm going to wait till tomorrow. I didn't want to deal with that problem right then, right? So my dad, I talked to my dad because he lives with me. My dad said, Sai, he says, I'll work on that tomorrow, whatever. Okay, all right, Dad, check it out. You know, I get home. Dad has the lids off, and he shoved a piece of pipe through the distribution box all the way to the septic tank outlet, and he hit something. He couldn't get through it. He hit it. He said, Sai. He said it was coming out for a little bit, and then it just quit again. I'm like, oh my goodness. But we pulled the lid off the septic tank. It was full of water all the way to the top. And like, anyone here want to reach their hand down in there and kind of feel around, see what's going on? Maybe. No, you don't want to do that, right? By the grace of God, I had gotten a sub pump from a side job, plugged that sub pump in, piped it up a certain way to shoot out, just lowered it in there, started pumping that thing out. And sure enough, I saw where the outlet pipe was coming, and there was a T right there. But there was something pink, something real pink in that T, that top of that T. And I'm like, Dad, what is that? And I was like, he's like, I don't know, Sai. You know, he's not a plumber. And I'm like, man, it must be a clean out or something, right? So I took my long handle screwdriver or pipe or channel locks, grabbed it, and I started twisting, and it was loose. Okay. And I'm thinking I'm unthreading it. It wasn't threaded in there. I just go like this. Now, I put 5 or 6 septic tanks in, and I've never seen this before. But there was an actual plastic filter like this. The filter was clogged with solids. And as soon as I pulled that filter, that water just... And I ran back over the distribution box, and that water flowed and just kicked right into the septic leach field. It just shot out there like a rocket. And I'm thinking, the filter's clogged. There was a clog. The next day at work, I had to pipe some pressure lines, no water lines, real good water. I'm piping these pressure lines. God's showing me that right in the back of my mind. It's clogged. Stagnant. It's clogged. I had to put 4 Silcox in this like 600 yard building. It all spaced individually. Piped them all up. Took 2 days. Got them. Turned the water on. Got the water rolling. Went to the first Silcox. Boom. Water shooting out. Good. Another couple hundred yards. Second one. Good. Third one. Good. And in plumbing, it's always the last one. It could be your last sink. It could be last toilet. And that one of them screws is going to be rusted solid. And you got to bust the metabo or the saws all out. And you got all kinds of issues, right? And sure enough, went to that last Silcox, just dripping. I'm like, ah, classic Friday. You know, I'm thinking, I'm going to get out here maybe half an hour, 45 minutes early. Oh, it's going to be great, you know. No pressure. Lord, here's another what? Spanking. And you know what? Maybe about 10 years ago when I was an apprentice, I was just like, I'm leaving. Just left it for someone, probably get a call back or whatever. It's like, oh, I don't know. Whatever. But you know what? I said, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to find out what the issue is. I go inside, shut the valve off. I cut it down here. I look, and I look down in that 90 where it shoots out that Silcox. Sure enough, shavings all clogged in there. Clogged. Thank God I had another union. Put a union on. Good go. Go out there. Turn it on. Pull the stem out of the silcock. I take a piece of solder. And I reach in there. Just right. Hit it. Out there she goes. Clogged. So 2 days in a row. 3 days in a row. The last two challenges, I had clogs. Saints of God, and I believe this prophecy. And I believe those things was for this church. Surely. There's things clogged. And what's, and I'm just going to say what it is. What's clogged is our flus, our conscience, our memories, our reasoning, our affections, and then our imaginations. Those things are what's clogged. Because remember, if you're saved, why is not the power of God here? If we're full of the Holy Ghost, why is not the power of God moving like it should? There's something clogged, just like Verde. If that line is not electrically, that's a clog when you have a short. It's a clog. Or it's cut, there's a clog. It's, you just have to reconnect it and it keeps going. But in the plumbing, you have to get things, you have to make sure your lines are clear. So what? The pressure, because remember, the pressure of God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what it was said? He said, He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost so much, He says, but He's waiting on you. You have to work your own salvation with fear and trembling. Sure. Absolutely. But now let me show you what He says here. This is real powerful. I want to deal with this a little bit here. The fundamental foundation for faith. Halfway down at the end of E8, I don't know if we got it, brother. He says, now God, when He made man in the beginning, He made him superior to anything on the earth. He was the top of creation. Remember, He was in the image of God. He says He gave him the jurisdiction of everything on earth. He controlled everything. He controlled the animal life. He controlled the fowl life, the fish of the sea. He controlled the winds. He controlled the plant life. He controlled everything. He says, man was made a secondary god on earth. He was given the power to control things, all elements on the earth. That's powerful. Amen. But remember, remember Moses, what? The prophet was sent. He had signed wonders and miracles untold. But now after the prophet's off the scene, Moses is off the scene. Who takes up? Joshua. And Joshua wanted to control, he wanted to control things on earth because his commission was to take over that land, right? And he said he got into battle one day and he needed more light. So to control things on earth, he had to actually reach out and control the heavens. That's right. That's the power. He's displaying Adam's power, Adam's authority, Adam's rights to back to the original. Absolutely. That's right. Now, he says, he could speak to the winds and it would stop. He would speak to the trees and they would obey him. He would talk to the wildlife. That's why God said, and Jesus said in I believe it's in Matthew or Mark, he said, you speak to that fig tree and it what? It died. He spoke to it and died. He says, you can do this thing. He says, you get that unbelief, all things will become possible, right? Amen. Sure. He says, and God will give him power over everything on the earth. And now, through the fall, he lost that power. Then he becomes unconscious to the fact. He says, after losing his channel, his relationship and friendship with the Father, then he lost that and all of his great channels become clogged up and he couldn't get through. He's talking about Adam, all his channels, unbelief. Remember, in Adam, the first Adam's memory, he always battled what? That he's the one that caused us to get here. He allowed sin. He should have watched over his wife better and this and that and whatever what. And now he's clogging his conscience, his memory. Everything's being clogged with unbelief. Instead of saying, forgive me, Lord, bring me back to, restore me back to where I was at. Absolutely. And that's where we're at today, saints of God. See, because remember, he didn't have the Holy Ghost offered to him then. We have the power source right here. All that's God, all the ocean, everything right here in your heart. All you have to do is what? Cleanse the flues, clean the flues out, clean these channels out, and the Holy Ghost will reattach itself back to you, and what? Things can start flowing. It's that simple, Living Waters Tabernacle. If you want these things to become living waters again and get out of the stagnated water, we have to clean our flues. All of our channels. That's right. He says, now that in the beginning of man, that's God gave him power over everything, all the earth, right? We just went through that. Now, E10. Adam never had to be sick. He never had to die. He never had a worry. He never had a heartache. He never had a fear. He just climbed up in the arms of the Father, and just like a child, he says, everything was his. And whatever he asked, why, he just got it. Why? There was no condemnation. There was nothing that says, I can't have it. He was so pure. His mind was so clean. He was just like the Father. He was created in the image of God, right? He was not fallen. He was perfect. And what, everything could flow through him. Everything, all his desires. What were God's desires? And so God would give it to him. Everything just obeyed him because he was God's child. And the child is heir of all things. Now when man fell, he lost this. He lost this ability. Right? He says, now when he lost in the fall, Christ come as a redeemer. Did you ever stop to think what Christ redeemed us for? He gave us everlasting life. He brought us back to the eternal fellowship and relationship to God and to his sons and daughters again to restore back all that Adam had lost in the fall. Now here's where I want to get to, right here. Now the thing of it is, since he has restored back to his place, man in the fall has lost his conscience of what the Father had put him on earth to do. He didn't even know what he was supposed to do. What is our purpose? Man, Cy, you know, you're in Local 50. Your purpose is obviously to be the church plumber. And if you guys have a problem, you know, I'll come and help you out, and we'll plumb this thing out, right? Absolutely. Is that my lot in life? That's temporarily what I do, part-time or whatever. He says, now the thing of it is, he says, man in the fall lost his conscience of what the Father put him here on earth to do. In other words, all the plumbing, he says, as it was in our brain, he says, and the outlets, the faith has got clogged up with what? He says, business. Where's it at? Business affair with home life, domestic things. Just your everyday life, everyday worries. He says, it's all become so clogged, he says, clogged up with that until God can't operate through those channels that he's made man for. Amen. My goodness, saints, he's not even dealing with just sin. Come on. It's just your natural everyday life. When I wake up, I have to wake up and go to work and drive there. Well, I wasn't made to do that. I was made to worship God continually, but because we're in a fallen state, And God put a little thing on Adam's seed line that we have to work now live by the sweat of our brow. We have to go and work. And that time there is not with God. Sure. It gets clogged up and you're tired, you're groggy. He says, until God cannot operate through those channels, that's what he made man for. He says, E14, now if we can ever throw ourselves completely to God and to his will and be lost to our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in you, he says, them same operations the Spirit will work through us as the natural things does. He says, just the same thing because we're first created to that purpose, to control, to rule, he says, and to praise God and to live, or he says, and live for God, right? That's why a man, when he grows up, even when he's little, he likes to be in control. Because that's what he was commissioned to do. It's in him. It's natural. He wants to be the head of the house. He wants the final word, the final say. Absolutely. He wants the things to operate according to as he feels led. Amen. Absolutely. That's right. Now, why don't we do that spiritually, saints? Even sisters. Because when a sister is now, she's the head of what? Her children. Underneath the man, of course. But when the man leaves, now she's in charge of those children, this and that. And she has to keep those children in line. Amen. Absolutely. They've got to be all just perfect. Sure. Now, let's continue on here. Now, here's just real basics here. We won't be much longer by the grace of God. Fundamentals of the Faith, 55, E19, last paragraph there. He says, but we as Christians, we become too clogged up. You just can't understand why we think that the doctor said, I can't get well. See, you get sick. What? Someone goes to the doctor, and the doctor will tell you, you're on stage 5, stage 4. And what? You let that unbelief, you let that thoughts come in your mind, and now you start reasoning. Well, I guess I'm going to die. And when you reason that away, when you reason that you're going to die, and you settle in your heart, you've just clogged the channel of healing. Anything. You get this big bill in the mail out of nowhere, and how am I going to pay that? And you say, well, maybe God left me. You just reasoned your way out of the blessing of God. You reasoned your way out of the deliverance. When saying, Lord, I didn't know this was going to happen. You get sick or the bill or whatever. Say, Lord, I didn't know. You didn't tell me. You didn't show me. So, Lord, I want your will. If I'm not supposed to go, I ain't going. If I have to pay this bill, if you're going to allow me to pay this bill, send me the money, Lord. Absolutely. Amen. It's just that simple. Amen. Sure, we have to depend on Him. Remember, when we think, and the more I'm thinking about this study, it's amazing how close and how careful you have to keep your mind. You have to keep your mind on the Word 24/7 to get the results you want. You want to see the power of the book of Acts? You have to keep your mind. When I walk into Bigby to get my favorite kind of coffee, and those baristas are dangerous. I'm going to have to turn my back and stand like this against the counter, just wait for it, put my lid on and go. And think about what God's glory, God's mercy, everything He's done for me, how He saved me, how He reached me out of the miry clay. Absolutely. I'm just telling you about my, is it all right? So that's how we literally have to think like these things. We have to speak these things. We have to continually rehearse them, absolutely, through our minds, through our daily lives. Praise God. Amen. So let's turn to John 15, 1. We'll be ending. I hope it was a little blessing by the grace of God. Saints of God, if we are going to get out of these waters, these stagnant waters, and not for the visitors, you know, but we know what we're talking about here. We have to go beyond. We have to die to ourselves. It's time. It is go time. This president, if Hillary gets it, this thing's over. It's over. That's the sixth vision. There is no time left. We're either going to go or we're going to stay. We're going to make this body change, or we're left behind. This thing's coming down. This thing is coming down. Why is she not in jail? Because she's in control. John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not the fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Praise God for the purging. Yeah, absolutely. That it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself except it bind in the vine. He says, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He says, I am the vine. He says, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. Look, the connection. I in you and you in me. The connection is complete. If you abide in that state where it's you and God in you, you'll have the atmosphere. You'll be led of God. You'll start hearing the voice of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow you. That's what he's saying here. This is one of the scriptures he referred to. Verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. How many have been there? Yeah, right here too. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall say, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's Adam's power right there. What's the difference between that scripture and Adam before the fall? Amen. Nothing. See? That was two things. Hey, That was 2,000 years ago, guys. 2,000 years ago, and God gave you the answer right there. All you have to do is have Him abide in you, and abide in, and then Him, you abide with Him, and His words be in your mind constantly. Ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. Notice He didn't say, let's see here. He says, if you ask, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask. Does it say anything about using the name of Lord Jesus Christ? In the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, if deity is speaking through you, does He have to use your name, His name? When did Jesus ever say, in the name of Jesus? Didn't. He just said, thou sick and unclean spirit. He just spoke what He wanted. Because remember, He was our example. The Holy Ghost was dwelling in Jesus. And He just what? Walked about and did whatever. He was abiding in the Word. The Father, He and the Father were one, right? And He was just walking and doing things. He didn't have to use His name because it was God. That's right. But remember, that same God that was in Him is now in us. It's that simple. But we have to, this has to go from realization to reality. A real mindset change. Are we going to take over before the rapture or not? You know Joel 2. Are we going to be that mighty army that has a fire burning before us and a fire around us devours everything and we're unstoppable? Are we going to take over or not? Do you want to be in the army? I'm not saying overthrow thing. I'm saying take over the environment again. There's a prophecy in Joel 2, visitors, if you ever read it, dealing with the army of God and the saints of God, how to be in this last day. An invincible army. There'll be so much like Christ who'll come and take them, get out of here, the bride. Absolutely. So, saints of God, we just love the Lord. Hope is a little blessing by the grace of God. I hope you just apply this. And I don't believe those things happened for any no reason. My little chastisements there, and He just kept dealing with clogs for 2 or 3 days right there. Clogs, clogs, clogs. And then my thoughts went right back to the prophecy of Sister Karen. He says, we're sitting in stagnant waters because we're clogged. What? Lack of what? Repentance and what? Unbelief. Unbelief. Absolutely. I don't know what, if it's a person or individuals or the entire thing, we have to come out of this. Absolutely. And it's taught, one time he's talking about, he says, you take, he says, if a river is clogged up, he says, you gotta take one log, you gotta reach down, grab a log, throw it aside. Grab another log, throw it aside. Notice he's going what? One by one. I don't believe that. The Word of God, that's not in the Word of God. Out. This is not in the Word of God. Out. My actions here are not Christian. Yeah, get it out. My thoughts here are got to go. My memories here are bringing the past up, gotta go. It all has to be like that. You've got to unclog ourselves, the mind of God. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Musicians, if you want to come up. Maybe we'll sing that song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. I know it's about basic of all basics. Praise the Lord. Hope was edifying. I know it wasn't exactly mind-tantalizing. But I'm not worried about that. Amen. I want to see what our pastor. I have the same vision as our pastor, and we want to see this church alive, a living, working, Holy Ghost filled organism. Amen. Either we have to, and saints of God, it's going to happen. We just got to make it happen. God can only He has to have vessels to work through. Amen. He needs us. Well, Si, really? Yeah, he kind of does, you know. Or how is preaching ordained? Well, somebody has to get behind here and preach. And what does preaching do without the congregation or teaching, whatever? Absolutely, we all are in this. God, I'll tell you this. What's going to cause a great? What if our pastor comes up here and his flues and channels are completely clear? He's going to operate, and if we are not. We're not going to operate. So we all, as the laity, the Christian church here, we have to all get in one accord. How can 120 and Acts 2 receive the Holy Ghost at one time?
They were all in one accord. You know, Peter was the Holy Ghost-filled spokesman, right? Did it just rest on him? No, we're all a body. The Bible talks about the body of Christ, right? Many multi-member, right? Sure. So we all have to get into this together. When we walk out of here, let your word, let the words out of your mouth be kind, sweet, gentle. Scripture. Think about the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. Give a little testimony. Absolutely. We must act like Christians. I'm not talking about a put on. Let him out. Let him out. Really just let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Real kind, sweet, gentle, everything. Absolutely. Must be just like Christ. When you have to be hard, you have to be hard. When you got to be soft, you got to be soft. But we want all the attributes. Remember, if Christ has gentleness, if Christ has judgment, if Christ has condemnation as far as those goats on the left, if he has anything, all that Christ is, and he's in you, then you can produce what Christ has at the given time, at the specific need, whatever it takes. Sure. So say that. Let's sing that song. Stand and sing that song. Me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. And cast me not away. If you need prayer, right here's a little mini altar. If you need to repent, let's make things right. Absolutely, saints. Anything that's bothering you, anything that's hindering you, just make it right today. Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Time.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Amen.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Salvation, and renew a right spirit. Just sing that again. If anybody needs prayer, you can still come. Oh Lord, and cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord, and take Oh, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Just sing that song. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, as I lift my hands in worship and to magnify thy name. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Sing it to the Lord one more time. Flow through me.
Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, as I lift my hands in worship and to magnify thy name. Through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
One more time, flow through me.
Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, as I lift my hands in worship and to magnify thy name. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Jehovah Jireh, O my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, Lord, you are with me. You supply all my needs. You are more than enough. So much more than enough. You are more than enough for me. One more time. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Lord, you are more than enough for me. You are more than enough. Lord, you are more than enough. So much more than enough. You are more than enough for me.
That this morning, amen. How many are just going to take that home, take it to prayer, just that we would, each and every one of us would be, our flues would be unclogged, that we could just flow freely, amen, that the Lord would bless, amen. Just sing one more song, amen, as we're dismissed, amen. Sing, it's not in trying, but in trusting that we find the strength, Lord.
And it's not in trying.